Hey everyone, I'm your host Tom Shaughnessy and welcome back to Chain Reaction, a research-driven podcast that's a part of Delphi Digital. If you're not on Delphi's research portal, you're missing out on the critical analysis read by the top minds in the crypto space, so be sure to check it out. One quick housekeeping item, nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. I may personally hold tokens mentioned on the podcast, and you can view our show notes below for our complete disclosures.
Hey guys, I wanted to tell you about Delta Exchange. If you're looking to trade crypto futures and options, check out Delta Exchange, where you can trade futures on Bitcoin and leading altcoins with up to 100 times leverage. Delta also offers options on Bitcoin and altcoins, spread contracts, and interest rate swaps. Launched in 2018 and backed by industry leaders like CoinFund and Aave, Delta is a secure and trusted platform to trade crypto derivatives. Head over to delta.exchange to trade with strong liquidity and low trading fees. Now back to our episode.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today I am beyond thrilled to have on Justin Blau, who's one of my favorite EDM artists. Everybody who follows me on Twitter knows that. Justin, awesome to have you. And my good friend Cooper Turley from Audius, who runs crypto strategy there. How's it going, guys?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Thanks for having us on.
Doing great.
Awesome, guys. So and to talk about Audius, music streaming, how that plays into crypto. Cooper, I think you have a couple slides, which I've never had someone do before, but I love. So let's start off with you and get the overview on Audius.
Totally, man. You know, we come prepared out here. Just want to say thanks again for having us on. This is a podcast I very much respect. So appreciate you letting us share some of what we're working on. So for those who don't know, awesome. Audius is a music streaming protocol built on Ethereum. What we're really trying to do here is create better ways for artists to engage with their fans. We've designed a pretty novel concept to do so. We got support from some amazing artists like Blau that you just mentioned here, and we're seeing some really great traction from a lot of people that are really well-respected in the base community, finding a solace in Audius for our ways to basically grow a grassroots community and just find those spirits and elements that they really loved at the beginning of their career. So, you know, the big problem that we're trying to solve here is basically right now, artists only capture about 12% of the music revenue that they make across the board. You know, you can see in this chart on the right side of the screen here, there's a ton of different places where there's cuts all throughout the process here. What we're looking to do is basically just disintermediate that and streamline the way that artists get paid. So on Audius, we want to create payment rails where an artist can receive payment directly from their fans and capture a lion's share of that revenue that historically has been siphoned off to a lot of these different entities that you can see here. We've been honestly doing really good. I think on my end, the reason why I joined this project is I saw a lot of really great traction happening, not just in a crypto native audience, but far beyond that. And as someone who's worked in crypto for the past 4 years, basically seeing that there's usage of artists and people who have never touched crypto before for something built on Ethereum was extremely attractive to me. So that metric that I'll point the attention to is we now have over a monthly million active users. And I think that that's a metric that is far and few in crypto as a whole. So it's one that we're very proud of. We're ramping up very quickly and we're excited to see what we can do to help bring something built on the blockchain to a wider audience. Some artists that you may notice on the platform, obviously we've got Skrillex, which is a pretty big name there. And then I'd say our two champions here are Blau and REC, is sort of the two artists that I really have found a lot of pride in working with and that very deeply understand what we're doing here. We have acts like Deadmau5, who played our mainnet welcome concert, Rez, Lido, and then curators like Brownies and Lemonade, who have been very vocal supporters of what we're doing so far. About a couple of weeks ago, we distributed our token to the community through a network airdrop. And what this looked like is basically our top 10,000 accounts on the platform got rewarded for their usage of Audius in the past. This is something we launched as a complete surprise. You know, we didn't really foreshadow it or anything like that. And, you know, as a mechanism that we put in place here, it was really amazing just to see the reception around owning a token. For many people, they had never touched crypto before, as I mentioned. So going through a claiming process where they didn't have to have any gas, they could just claim the token in their wallet and basically have it to participate in governance was a really exciting process to design. And this is a concept that we'll get into later, but it sort of prefaces this ongoing idea of earning tokens by being a value-added actor to the network. So right now, Audius features 7% inflation, which means that as a user of Audius, every year there is an opportunity to earn tokens by doing value-added things like staking, by participating in governance, and really just being a core user of the platform that we built today. Just give a quick look here at the circulating supply of the token. This is something that I want to talk a little bit more about, but this concept of basically issuing a token with ongoing issuance is a pretty exciting topic to me. It's something that's pretty unique and novel in crypto as a whole. And so we'll dive into this later, but I wanted to just throw this on the screen now so people can take a quick look at the way that our token is distributed. And hopefully we can get a little bit deeper into this later in the podcast. As I said, this is Audius project, and I'm excited to get into what we got here. I think I really appreciate Blau taking his time to talk. You know, he's a very busy man, and the fact that he's even willing to come on this podcast, I think speaks volumes to what we're building here and the value that I think that we're creating.
Anything?
Yeah, Cooper, to have you, man. Thanks again for coming on. And Cooper, great overview. I mean, well, let's dive right into this. I mean, well, you've dealt with like the traditional way of going about the entire music industry your whole life, right? And I don't really know what that process is like, but since you're now on Audius versus that old pathway, like what are the key differences? Is it just so much easier? Is it more income for you? Like what exactly are the changes?
So I think the biggest reason why I was initially excited about Audius 2 years ago when the project first launched was it was really the first of its kind that focused on permissionless uploads, permissionless consumption, and a community kind of governing a decentralized audio ecosystem. This is something that, you know, what I've experienced in my career is a lot of the centralized distributors and players, whether it's Spotify, SoundCloud, whatever it might be, have pretty much complete control over every parameter in the entire ecosystem. And when you give artists and the community more control over that ecosystem, the direct relationship between both parties strengthens and also accrues more value than, you know, middlemen taking massive cuts. So there's a lot of like angles to this that we could explore. There's the traditional label model and why it's kind of crazy. There's the Spotify model and why that's also kind of crazy. Ultimately, instead of like going into fine detail on all these things, the bottom line is the slide that Cooper displayed, where 12% of all music revenue ends up in artists' hands. That's the problem. There are a lot of like factors that go into that problem, but the problem exists. And so Audius is really the first of its kind in that it's the first time artists and fans can have that direct relationship, and where that other 88% of music revenue can finally be captured by all people that attribute value to sharing music, consuming music, etc. So, you know, as someone who's been a huge proponent of distributed ledger tech over the past 6 years and its power to disintermediate, I think, you know, Audius is really the first of its kind. And so it's just really exciting to be a part of it and to also see that they've been able to garner over 1 million MAUs with, you know, which is almost unheard of, as we all know in the space.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I know how bad or tough the relationships were with kind of the traditional model or with Spotify. Is it, I guess if you had to rank it, and I hate to simplify it, but I'd love to know, like, what's the largest issue in your opinion? Does it come down to the revenue split, or, you know, do you have to deal with 10 people every day you just hate dealing with, or what exactly would it be?
Both. It's both revenue split and also distribution. So we can kind of go through, like, I don't want to get dive too deep because it's, you know, that's a 5-hour conversation, but to kind of scratch the surface, most record deals, it starts at the record label level before it even gets to the distributor level, where a record label decides that they want to own 80% of your master recording rights in most typical deals. Sometimes it's 50-50, but most of the time it's 80%. The label provides liquidity upfront for an artist to pursue their dream because they need to like live, right, while they make music. And a label promises distribution, outsized distribution performance because of their network and because of their connections and blah, 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 blah. And this has existed. This was true in the past before the digital world existed for music, where labels were really gatekeepers. Now it's pretty easy to just distribute your stuff and get TikTok virality and you know, establish a name for yourself just if your content is good enough. So the label is kind of like first point of failure. Second point of failure, which is what, you know, Audius really takes head on, is the distribution model, where basically this party of, you know, all the employees at Spotify make up the decision-making process in what goes where and who hears it. And that's pretty wild, right? Like none of the consumers or artists have any say whatsoever on who hears what. It's pretty insane. So you could be following an artist and you might not even know that they come out with a new song because Spotify thinks that it's not important to you. This is like a gross underestimation of how bad it is, but to at least explain this in the ways that Audius solves this problem, you know, being able to have community curated content and artist curated content without the need of an algorithmic middleman that's completely that lacks complete transparency, you know, that in and of itself is so valuable. And we haven't seen anyone step up to the plate to execute something like that. The second kind of thing that Audius does that is a little bit non-traditional when it comes to the regular label and distribution world is it enables the content creator to upload whatever they want, and the community can then govern what violates copyright or what, you know, what's not appropriate use or appropriate behavior. When middlemen have that power, it often creates so many problems. Like in my case, where I've uploaded content that I've had permission to upload, whether it's a remix or a mashup of something, and the distributor will just cut it off. They'll cut it off and give me a strike in the case of SoundCloud, which is kind of a really terrible thing to do to creator culture. And it was such an important part of a lot of electronic musicians' rise, like free remixes, free mashups. There are probably little copyright damages that are even potentially like litigated when it comes to that stuff, right? So a lot of these middlemen put up these barriers and set these rules that are pretty anti-creative. So Audius like definitely shoves that in the corner and moves forward with community governance in a way that can sustain this, you know, remix mashup culture that's so vital to the creator space. So I'd say like both from a community control governance standpoint and from a distribution standpoint, we haven't seen any similar product yet in history that does what Audius does. And so any artist that like myself and like RIC, you know, any artist that has close ties to the distributed ledger tech world, you know, very quickly understands the power of this when it comes to disintermediation, but also when it comes to like royalty payments and like really basic stuff that middlemen take way too high of a piece of. So that 12% number is what I think all of us want to change. It should be the opposite, like 12% to middlemen and 88% to artists, right?
Totally. I think there's something really important there around community, and it's something that I really want to drive home. You know, especially in the world of Spotify today, artists are just optimizing for streams. Like your monthly listener count is basically everything that you're pushing for. It's what you get paid on the back of, and it's what people are trying to optimize for. You know, I think that working in crypto, it's very obvious to me that building a strong community is the single most important thing that you can do. And what we're doing at Audius is basically creating new ways to build a stronger community around your content, around your profile, around your brand. And I think that trying to shift that narrative away from quantity of streams to the quality of your fans is a really important discussion and something that we want to be a leader in terms of helping to push that conversation forward.
That's a really good point. So Blau and Cooper, you guys both bring up a good key point, is that you guys are totally turning the entire industry on its head, right? But how decentralized actually is Audius? Like, are you at that point now? Or are you moving to that point? Like, who can actually shut this down if they want? And then on the flip side of that, who actually has control? Like Blau mentioned a bunch of topics where, you know, fans and artists have control over what happens. Is that governance actually live today?
Yeah, so the governance module is live today. You know, it's definitely a gradual path to decentralization. The launch of this token was basically the network becoming decentralized in the sense that every aspect of the protocol is dictated by token holders. We have staking live today, and node operators are staking tokens to basically...
live today?
Yeah.
Staking today? I didn't even see that.
Nice.
When this podcast releases, yeah. So we'll see what happens on that front. But yeah, staking on Audius has actually been live on an incentivized testnet for a while. So that protocol infrastructure has been there for quite a long time. It's just now this transition to it all happening on mainnet. And basically artists being able to delegate their tokens and node operators posting bonds to themselves. That is kind of the first step there. To your point around governance, you know, I think that there's a lot of training to be done around why governance matters and why it's important. You know, the reason that the network did this airdrop at first was to basically help artists realize that they do actually have control over this platform. And it's not something that we're just saying is like a million year goal. It's something that we're actively pushing towards. And with that ongoing issuance that I mentioned, new tokens are being distributed to the most value-added actors every day. None of that's going to Audius as a company. None of that's going to investors. From now and through the rest of time, quite frankly, there's always going to be new tokens that are funneled to these users. And those tokens are what directly controls how the platform evolves.
That's awesome. Blau, do you think that, and I don't know what this looks like in 6 months or a year, but do you think that you would enjoy like having this say over the platform? Or at some point, is it just like, hey, I really want someone just to manage this stuff for me. I like the control to begin with. Cause I'm just wondering like if it impedes your time or if you're going to like the control.
I think the beauty of it is that it can be selective, right? Just staking and earning staking rewards is, you know, it can be more of a passive activity if you want it to be. And then there will be more active users that seek to earn like outsized rewards who are maybe policing the platform for copyright issues. You know, in my case, I probably wouldn't do that, but it doesn't devalue the the relationship or the usability of the platform by any means. But yeah, I think you'll see, just like any other community, there will be more active listeners and even consumers, and there will be more active artists. In my case, I'm going to be most active on the strategy side, more so than actual like policing the platform or, you know, doing stuff like that. But my goal as an advisor is, how do we get the most amount of artists and content creators to the platform? That's where I can add the most value. And so I'll be doing a lot of that offline, not necessarily within the environment, but kind of being a champion of the platform to my friends and to other artists. That's kind of where I see my biggest value add. And, you know, and like I said, there will be more micro users that engage in different ways. And that's the beauty, it's selective. It's certainly not one or the other.
Totally.
Blau, just one quick follow-up. How hard is it for, you said that 12% is obviously not a lot of money. It's especially not a lot of money for smaller or new users, right? Like, how many artists are we boxing out of Spotify and YouTube and stuff like that because they're just too small, can't just get discovered, can't get paid? Whereas on Audius, it sounds like that's much easier.
So great point. The I'm sure you've heard of the 1,000 fan rule, right? If you have 1,000 true fans that are willing to support an artist, it's usually enough to at least support their financial career in some way, shape, or form if those 1,000 fans remain loyal. In the current environment, those 1,000 fans are pretty meaningless on Spotify. Like, the payout's just not significant enough. There's barely any way to engage. And what's also, you know, we haven't mentioned yet is the data control. So like, I might have 2 million monthly listeners, but I have no idea who any of these people are, which is pretty, pretty disastrous, right? Like, we're attributing all this data value that we don't get to capture. So like, Audius is the beginning, is a starting point for exploring all these different variables. And even like a new smaller artist, like you said, that might get boxed out of even having a career, they might have an opportunity to engage their fans on a deeper level and maybe pursue this music thing full time with a platform like Audius that they might not have ever had. They might not have had that opportunity in other spheres of music. So I think we will see that as the platform evolves. We'll see more creators that are willing to take that leap because they'll be able to monetize a bit sooner and they'll be able to engage their fan base more directly. So, you know, it's still early days in that sense, but I do think that's the ultimate goal of everyone on the platform and who's supporting the platform.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. That's great points.
Hey guys, I wanted to tell you about Delta Exchange. If you're looking to trade crypto futures and options, check out Delta Exchange, where you can trade futures on Bitcoin and leading altcoins with up to 100 times leverage. Delta also offers options on Bitcoin and altcoins, spread contracts, and interest rate swaps. Launched in 2018 and backed by industry leaders like CoinFund and Aave, Delta is a secure and trusted platform to trade crypto derivatives. Head over to delta.exchange to trade with strong liquidity and low trading fees. Now back to our episode.
Just switching over to the app, I downloaded the app a couple days ago. It's super clean. There's no mention of crypto or tokens at all. And you guys have 1 million users. Cooper, how'd you guys get to 1 million users? I mean, there's thousands or tens of thousands of users in DeFi. It's wild to think about.
Yeah. So I really want to give a big shout out to Forrest Browning, our chief product officer. You know, he is such a adamant believer in UX above all else. So we created a wallet called Hedgehog that allows you to log in with an email and a password. I think something as simple as getting people onboarded without having to download MetaMask is such a huge hurdle that we immediately just tackle right off the bat. You know, I think when you actually get into the application itself, everything living on chain but not being, you know, pushed to the center of your attention is really important. And like I said before, with this token, that was the first time that a lot of our users even knew that we were built on blockchain or that we had anything to do with that. And so coming from a world of DeFi where everything that you do is talking about the protocol that you're built on, you know, the layer two scaling solution you're using, et cetera, Audius has set itself up really well to be able to handle a high threshold by using other pieces of infrastructure. So for example, right now, all of the data and the content that you see lives on proof of authority network. And we're currently working on migrating some of that content storage over to Solana to handle a high throughput. But as a user, you know, you're basically just dealing with an experience that you're familiar with on something like SoundCloud. And then in the background, we're utilizing blockchain and its benefits to offer this distributed system that we're so proud of without making the user have to take that leap of faith or really like lean into it as hard as we've seen other protocols try and push it upon their users.
Awesome. And Cooper, one follow-up question there. What does this look like though in a year? Like, I pay monthly for Spotify. Do I have to pay with Audio tokens or am I going to be paying with dollars? Like, how exactly does that whole dynamic work?
Yeah, so I want to preface that this is still really early on. It's something that's definitely going to evolve. The way we're thinking about this today is that basically all payments will happen on a microtransaction level. So you will pay per stream that you actually play a piece of content. That rate is set by the artist. So they can charge $5 per stream. They can charge a fraction of a penny per stream, whatever they see fit. And that experience looks like basically having stable coins in your wallet, say $10. And every time that you play a track, that payment's automatically distributed. You know, you don't really notice that as a user. It just kind of happens behind the scenes. And I think that for me, what's really exciting about that is you mentioned right now for Spotify, you pay $10 a month. It's very rare that any of that money actually goes to the artist that you listen to. In fact, it's just shared pro rata amongst all artists on the platform. But with Audius, your value that you're putting into the platform directly goes to the artist that you stream. So that paradigm in and of itself, I think, is a drastic improvement over these more generalized subscription models, and tying like a token into the ways that that works with earnings multipliers and exclusive content and whatnot. I think that there's a lot of exciting ways that artists can capture a lot of value here.
I was just going to piggyback off that and ask, you know, how many songs do you think you listen to per month?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Jeez. I don't think I'm that high, man.
It's probably not 1,000, right?
Yeah, maybe I probably play 1,000 songs. The total number of streams is quite a lot, but yeah, it's like the same playlist every time. You know, it's the same artists that are constantly being funneled. You're listening to the same song a lot of times. So yeah, I totally see what you're getting at here.
What I was getting at is, like, let's say you're a user. Most people don't stream 1,000 songs a month. They stream quite a lot. If you, as an artist, set your rate to a cent per stream, that would give a user the ability to listen to 1,000 songs a month without still being cheaper than Spotify, with the artist getting way more value out of it. It could go as low as a half a cent per stream, and the payout would still be greater than Spotify, at which point you can listen to 2,000 songs per month as a user, right? And it would still be less than $10. So most people, I guess the reason why I say this is most people don't actually listen to 1,000 songs a month. It's 1,000 songs a month more than you think. And that's not even including mixes that might be at a cheaper rate, right? So like you can listen to mixes for, you know, maybe 2 cents, and maybe that, you know, maybe that entitles you to unlimited listens, right? Unlimited streams for value. I mean, there's infinite potential, and most of it probably ends up being even cheaper for the consumer than Spotify.
Yeah, that's a really important point, because I think that that framing, that when people hear about microtransactions and paying per stream, I think the misconception is that you're going to pay a ton of money and you're just going to be blowing all this money on listening to music. But to Justin's point, I think that when you really think about the amount of songs that you actually stream on a monthly basis, you know, there's a strong argument to be made that you will be paying less than what you're paying for a subscription on Spotify, but giving exponentially more value.
And imagine you pay 10 cents for unlimited streams. I mean, that's already better than the existing.
Yeah.
It's loads better. So like even the idea that an artist can, you know, like Cooper said, there's this one side of the equation where people think about, I don't want to be paying for every stream. That's like kind of crazy. Well, then an artist can set an unlimited variable, and then you just like pay 10 cents once for your favorite song. It's already like creating more value for the artist than any of these other platforms do. So there's like infinite potential and ways to explore it, but ultimately it ends up with higher value to the artist and lower cost to the consumer, like 100%.
I don't get how anybody else competes with this. Like how does Spotify, or like how do they compete with this? They can't. Like, what is the moat that they give artists a bunch of money from their balance sheet to come there? Like I don't understand enough to get the how they would compete here.
They were first in a very new world. Streaming has really only existed in its modern capacity for like 3 to 5 years. So just like comment like a MySpace, like eventually they become completely irrelevant. It's just still early in the streaming world for us to have that perspective. But when you look at social media world, you know, the only reason why Facebook was able to survive as long as they have is because they've acquired companies that do what the original Facebook did better, whether it's WhatsApp, right? WhatsApp is way better at messaging than Messenger. And Instagram is a way better content consumption platform than Facebook. So, you know, they're smart about vertically integrating in that sense. But, you know, with Spotify, they really were the first. Other, like even Apple Music has so much cash, but they still can't even compete with the user base of Spotify. So as creators start to gravitate to, like as creators realize that they're robbed, they start gravitating towards a new platform, the users will follow them, right? If people just stop playing music on Spotify, like the new Skrillex release on Audius, I don't even think it's on Spotify, right? So you want to listen to this new Skrillex song, you got to go to Audius. And eventually artists will just start to do this because they're fed up with the existing infrastructure. Well, it will take time, but it's certainly like the idea that Spotify runs the world is definitely, you know, only exists in a very short time frame, which is like a 5-year.
It seems like there's no way that Spotify could change their business model to compete. And I guess the long-term thing I'm thinking about is, if Audius is the one that's able to capture all of the great artists before they're big and they go to Audius for revenue, then they're going to stay there long term. And then Audius is just going to take over from that perspective.
Totally. Yeah, I was going to add in that I think it's really important to recognize that we don't see ourselves directly competing with Spotify. I think that the catalog that they've amassed and the relationships they've created with these labels are ones that are have taken years and billions of dollars of paperwork and legal and whatever else happens behind the scenes there. So the way that I like to think about this is, you know, I don't see us being a platform where someone goes to stream the new Post Malone album, but what I do see them doing is going to stream their favorite artist's unreleased track that hasn't dropped publicly yet. And they're able to access that first before anyone else. And redefining those paradigms around fan engagement and listening, I think that there's experiences there that are superior to what Spotify offers. And I think that we can have a competitive advantage sort of in the wider streaming market as some place that people can go to feel like they're really empowered and that they're not just treated as another, you know, number behind the screen, basically.
Yeah, no, I'm with you guys there. And Cooper, Blau, Cooper brought up this idea that you were working on called, they're audio NFTs, right? What's the deal with those? It sounds super interesting, especially as NFTs are popping off. We're big investors in Axie Infinity, and we're huge fans of the individual Axies as well. But it's different from audio.
So I have a lot of, like this is another long conversation. But in short, I'm super excited about the perspective of tokenizing, like creating security tokens that represent music assets. They're definitely security tokens because their cash flow is associated with them. But that's something that I'm exploring pretty heavily now. When you tokenize an actual piece of audio, you know, that's different, like, but still really interesting. The way Wu-Tang, you know, tokenized, you know, didn't tokenize, but only sold their album to one person. I think there is a really interesting perspective on permissioned listening. And there are a couple of platforms that are exploring this. Like if your wallet has an audio NFT in it, it has to sign a contract to listen. There's infinite potential there, but I'm actually, you know, I'm excited about this, like permission listening, I'm even more excited about actually securitizing music and giving the public access to investing in music, which is a way more complicated equation, but more doable now than ever in the past.
Yeah, no, I think sounds like
one thing. Sorry, I wanted to kind of touch on was your experience with Super, Justin. I think that I've seen a lot of artists, you know, leaning into sort of this crypto art, sort of digital scarcity nature of something that fits really well with the brand of a musician. And I think that you've done an extremely good job about that. I would love to hear a little bit about your experience working with platforms like SuperRare and kind of the culture around releasing exclusive artwork that lives, you know, exclusively on the blockchain.
Yeah, so that brings up a broader question of like this idea that media has always been pervasive and accessible by everyone. This wasn't always the case historically, where back in classical music days, if you wanted to hear Mozart or Bach, you'd have to pay up to have a private recital in your home. And those experiences were super exclusive. When we think about digital media, we always think about it as being free because it's all we've ever known. But if you can permission digital media or assign ownership, even if it's viewable by everyone else, there's a lot of value inherent to that. And so the same way you can find the Mona Lisa online, if you Google it, there's something to be said about going to see the real thing in a specific museum. There's certain value that human beings attribute to the real one versus the other copies. It's pretty easy to replicate that experience with NFTs, where there's only one initial original print or format of either a song or an audiovisual loop that only one person can own. And while everyone else can see it, the owner is proud to be supportive of that art form and of those artists that created that piece. This is something that's like very new and it's kind of hard to wrap your head around, but as you start collecting, and I encourage everyone who's listening to explore the digital art world in some way, shape, or form, whether that's through SuperRare, Nifty Gateway, a company that I work closely called Block Party, who's working, you know, very closely with me on developing the music side of NFTs, there's infinite potential. And how music NFTs interact with Audius is also something that's really interesting that the Audius team is going to explore in the future. So yeah, just the idea that content is not necessarily readily accessible by everyone is something that's difficult to wrap your head around because we're so used to media being everywhere. But as you start to like dive into exclusive media, a lot of the realizations that you come to are pretty obvious. But yeah, that's a whole conversation in and of itself, but it's something I'm really excited about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And Justin, last kind of question on just the governance and the flip model aspect. What can you do differently with fans that you can't do in the past, right? Like you're extremely engaged with all your fans, which I love at the lowest level, like including me, right? Like you've responded to DMs about stuff, but how do you do that at scale with audience in a way that you weren't able to do in the past?
Oh man, there's infinite potential there. I mean, one of the things I'm excited about is like that in the future, let's say I have like listeners that are super loyal that have streamed my stuff thousands and thousands of times. We could airdrop like a loyalty NFT to those specific fan wallets. You know, that there's just like infinite engagement and potential with in something like that. And we've barely scratched the surface there. So I can't do that with my Spotify listeners. I can't access them at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this sort of ownership of analytics, right? Justin touched on it earlier, but one thing that Audius is really trying to champion here is that you have access to all the people who stream your music. You have access to all of your followers. You can use that information to your benefit. And really the thing that I'm seeing be really exciting about this wider social token movement is just allowing fans to better connect with one another. You know, me and you both love Blau as an artist, but a lot of times we don't know that about each other. When you create rooms and paradigms for fans to better interact with one another, it really strengthens that relationship and ends up benefiting the artist even more. So just trying to like lean into that, right? That songs are not ephemeral in nature. There's a lot of other people who support you in your music and connecting them so that they can have better relationships, especially in this age where it's entirely digital and concerts aren't as readily available. It's something that I find a lot of value out of and something that I've had a lot of pleasure working on.
That's awesome. And just to round out the conversation here, Cooper, what do you guys need to top Spotify's users? Like, I think they have 200-300 million users or something. Like, what does Audius need to get there?
I think it needs to have its own renaissance, sort of the way that SoundCloud saw a renaissance in 2013 with an entirely new wave of artists that were born through that platform. I believe that we need to find a new set of artists who are coming onto the map for the first time. They're not super established yet, and they really build their career off the back of a fan base they've built on Audius. I think the more of those sort of hero stories that we have, the more obvious it will become that this is something that every artist should consider.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Blau, I have one like closing type question for you, man. I mean, I miss concerts in person. I can't imagine what it's like to be an artist and not be able to throw one. What's the vibe like there?
Well, after 10 years of doing it, this has been a very nice break. I'm not going to lie. I'm quite happy. But to be honest, it's looking like another 4-6 months minimum. I would be surprised, even with a vaccine. I still think that there are a lot of risks that even someone like myself, it's not like we're going to go back to normal the second a vaccine starts getting distributed. It's definitely going to take some time, which is why I put a lot of effort into exploring like the intersection of DLT and music. I have been for the past, you know, 6 or so years, but now seems to be a prime time to engage in the intersection of both worlds, especially as people are stuck at home and stuck kind of engaging with the digital world as their primary like, means of connecting to each other. So yeah, I think it's super stoked to be in close touch with the Audius team, Forrester, Neil, Cooper. You know, we chat at least once a week minimum about ideas and how the platform is going to grow. And since the launch, I mean, the amount of positive feedback that we've seen from artists, both large and small, has been incredible. And it's just a really exciting time. And it gives artists a new, unique opportunity in a world where their touring income is definitely lower than ever before. So excited to grow.
I think something that's really interesting that Justin mentioned in Clubhouse room we were in is this pandemic has shown that there's no replacing live music. I think that a lot of people were betting on the fact that you could go to a concert online and replace that mechanism. But if anything holds true here, it's that live shows will always have a fundamental place in entertainment. And even at Audius, you know, creating new ways to access events through staking tokens and exclusive access and VIP sections. I'm super excited to watch this all come back into the fold because I think there's going to be incredible new experiences for concerts that are just you know, feeding into what we love and really just empowering those that find it as innovative as what me and Tom do going to shows every week, you know?
Cooper, I think we both tried to listen to concerts late at night and recreate that feeling. It's just not the same.
Yeah. We've done it. We've tried. But it feels like a little bit of a waste in many cases because like it's these digital concerts are marketed as being like a same experience when it's not even close. So
yeah, no, it's tough. And Cooper, two last quick closing questions for you, just from our members to make sure we get to them. One was confidential. Just what's the plan for distributing the 75% of tokens by the insiders? What's the deal with that? What's going on there?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So at the beginning of the call, I basically shared that supply chart. And the way that we're thinking about this is that issuance over time basically diminishes the ownership of centralized parties. So it might be a very consolidated distribution today, but with 7% issuance today over 5 years, what that actually looks like is about 50% ownership to the community. That's if there's no changes to inflation. And a good parallel I like to draw here is that the Ethereum ICO was completely centralized at start, right? The only people who had tokens were those who bought it in the sale. And then over the course of the network through mining rewards, it slowly graduated and evolved into what we see today. So I do think it's a new paradigm in terms of token distribution and sort of starting with the very, you know, closed distribution and then opening that up over time. But granted, all of those investors, team, and foundation tokens are on long unlocks. And we're very conscious about trying to make active users the owners of this platform rather than those that just go ahead and buy tokens on Uniswap, you know, today and then end up having like a lion's share of this platform when they weren't actively participating in it.
Yeah, I mean, regardless if the token is more centralized from the start, the revenue to the artists is still the majority to them, which is the important part, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And just Absolutely. Last question for you, Cooper, just from CK, our buddy, how do you kind of stop people music that like doesn't belong to them, copyright, stuff like that? How does that all work?
Yeah, so node operators have an interface that basically exposes all the content that's available on the platform. This is very similar to the way that it works on something like SoundCloud or YouTube, where as a creator or rights holder, you can submit a request to node operators, and there's an arbitration process that's very similar to what you've seen before on other platforms.
It's awesome, just community governed instead of by this like random algorithm that doesn't really know anything and that blames me for uploading something that's my own. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Justin, if you ever need someone to check a track, I'm happy to listen first.
Yeah, no, I can't tell you how many times I've uploaded my own stuff for it to get taken down. It's like, it's absolutely insane.
I don't even know why they would take down anything that you post. It's insane.
I appreciate it.
Oh, Jesus. Well, Blau, Cooper, this has been awesome, man. I really have a lot of respect for what you're doing. Blau, thanks so much for coming on. Cooper, my boy, thank you as well. And this was awesome.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please support the show by hitting subscribe on iTunes, writing a review, or sharing this episode on Twitter and LinkedIn. And stay tuned for our next episode out soon.